Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Glad to have you with me today. Pastor Tim Karskatten here, Christian Center Shreveport, daily podcast. So glad you're joining us this Passover week. We're excited, and we have a phenomenal testimony about a Jewish man that was looking for faith and couldn't find it in Judaism, but found it in Yeshua. All right, let's listen to this testimony. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu, Od Avinu, Od Avinu Chai.
Well, blessings to you this week. So glad you're with us. I hope you've listened all week here in this Passover week here in 2024. We are just pressing into what the Lord's saying. It's a very important time as we have prophetic about this Passover, shifting everything in the Spirit. So we want to be in line with that. Well, I found a testimony here on this 26th day of April, 2024, of a gentleman, a Jewish gentleman, who, when he was a young boy, was trying to find understanding as to why tragedy happens, and it happened in his life with his mother. And Judaism had no answer for him, or at least the answer they gave him, he knew something was wrong with that answer. And it set him off on a journey to find truth. The best part about that, and I tell anybody who has a family member or friend that's seeking truth, the joy of that is there's only one truth. For Yeshua, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he declares that there is no other truth outside of him. So you can search all you want. You'll never find it until you find him. And that's kind of this testimony of this Jewish gentleman. But it's a pretty good story because it's a Passover story as he heard the Passover message and recognized that Yeshua was the Passover. And he will share his testimony of his faith and how he came to the Lord, and then how through that he had strength to handle even future difficulties in life. And that's the beauty of following our Lord, is he can do that. So let's listen to his testimony. We're going to pray for you and your family that they too would find faith in the one who is our Passover lamb, the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus our Savior. All right, listen in.
I've always had an innate desire to seek truth. Albert Einstein, with the theory of relativity, wanted to know what was really going on in the world. I realized that I had been perceiving the world upside down. When I was 11 years old, my mother contracted brain cancer. They had cut open her skull, and she died from that shortly thereafter. And I remember at the funeral, the rabbi was Rabbi Binstock, big prominent rabbi, and in his eulogy he said, people generally are allotted their 70, but in Lolita's case, who was my mother, she was just so blessed because she could be in heaven being young forever. And I remember the minyan afterward, because that didn't sit well with me. Going to the rabbi and saying, Rabbi, when my mother died, she had a shaved head and it was cut open. Will God take her back a year earlier when she was beautiful? And if he does that, why can't he take old people and have them go back several decades to be young and beautiful the same way? The rabbi had great consternation and looked at me like, said to my grandfather, Reuben, how could you raise such a grandson as this? He must leave this minyan at once. And that was really my first association with looking to Judaism for the answers to my questions. I wasn't going to get the truth from my Jewish upbringing. I just couldn't get the answers. So what I did is I said, I'm going to take this upon myself. I wound up being admitted into Harvard Law School. And I remember the first day I went there, going under the portals of the Harvard Yard with the emblem and the motto above and the wrought iron that said Veritas, and the meaning Latin for truth. And I thought this was going to be the real place where I was going to finally accomplish my quest for truth. The law was very relative and provincial. So when I went into practice, I took matters into my own hands. I would be omniscient. I was going to write documents that could foresee every contingency, and clients flocked to me. I was known as the lawyer that could solve problems other people couldn't solve. I was just so proud with what I was accomplishing, and I really didn't look at what was happening with the rest of my life, the things that, if you will, didn't count on my grades. My marriage was falling apart. I had a son who I wasn't going to have custody with. My father was dying. And nothing really reverberated inside me because I was so imbued with my legal documents. And then on top of everything else, once the economy changed in the late 80s, people were challenging the things that I had written, these sacred documents. So really my world was coming down in a way that once again, I'd had another endeavor where truth was not being achieved. And in the midst of all that, I became serious with a beautiful woman named Susan. There was something different about her. She had a tremendous caring and kindness to me and my son in a way that was soothing and was an unguent to how frayed I was feeling at that time. So when she broached with me that we should go to a church, to a Passover dinner that was conducted by a Jewish follower of Jesus Christ, which made no sense to me. She had to take me kicking and screaming. But when I went, he spoke about the connection between the bondage of the slaves in Egypt and Jesus is talking about the bondage and the slavery imposed by sin. I felt like Helen Keller at the well when she felt like the water, and started saying the words in her hands. Every page of that Bible talks to you about the limits of the law, and that the documents, if your heart is not in it, aren't worth the paper that they're written on. To think that something such as himself, perfect, would die so that I could get the rewards as if I had met the law when I hadn't, was something that was incredibly meaningful for me. It turned out that in retrospect, I was as dumb as all those Jews I had criticized in Hebrew school. I was 11 days away from the promised land, but I had to, in my own way, in real time, spend 40 years in the wilderness. In 1998, when I married my new wife, Susan, and we were about to have our child, it turned out that he was going to have Down syndrome. I'd had a tough enough life as it was, with my mother dying early and the things that I'd been up against, and they were working out right now. I didn't need that kind of service the rest of my life, and I just didn't want to have it. My faith got tied up with Abraham to think that he would be willing to show his faith in God, to kill his son. And what a wimp I would be that I couldn't show my faith in God to do the natural act of letting my son live. We named him Matthew, which means gift of God. And Susan and I had no idea how poignant that would be. All the kinds of things that I was just so full of and correlated with merit just went out the window with Matthew. When he puts up his hands and communes with God, it's a whole closeness that people such as myself around him can only aspire to.
Well, isn't that a powerful testimony? I hope that encouraged you here on this special week. And we remind you, and I think we had a message from our friend Benny Friedman last Sunday, that these feasts are not Jewish feasts, they're biblical feasts. That's why when you read the New Testament, it fits. That's why when we look at it, we can say Jesus, Yeshua, the Hebrew word, or his name, is the Passover lamb. And when you get it, you get it. Well, let's talk about what he went through. As you heard in the testimony, he went to his rabbi and got that unusual answer, to say the least, and got religion thrown right in his face. Basically, they're right and nobody else has revelation. Well, it reminded me of Jesus teaching his disciples and the Jewish people of his time in Luke chapter 12, letting them know that God knows what they're going through and he cares. The very thing that this young boy needed at that time, this Jewish boy needed. It says, under these circumstances, after so many, first verse, so many thousands of people had gathered together, they were stepping on one another, and he began saying to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. According to whatever you said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body after have no more and have that have no more than they can do. But I warn you to fear the one who he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you to fear him. And then he goes off into the story of the sparrows. Now here's the thing. He warns them to not fear religious, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees. And as we heard last Sunday, the leaven is what puffs up. It allows you to fill your life with things that are not the Lord. You get filled with ambition. You get filled with arrogance, pride, which hypocrisy, which the Pharisees were. They say one thing and they did another. They expected the people to do things, but they didn't themselves. You know, as we say, you know, it's good for thee and not for me, as we say our politicians are saying right now. And so we have to look at this story as this religious spirit tries to give an answer to life. I'm thankful, listen to me, that Pharisee, in a sense, gave that boy that answer. Think about it. He needed comfort. He needed to know that the God that he was serving, the God of Israel, cared. And he did not hear a caring word from Christ. He didn't hear a caring word from the God of Israel. He heard religion and demanding that you aren't smart enough to know truth. And what did he do? It started him on that journey to find truth. Do you know somebody in your family? Do you know some friend of yours that you know is seeking truth right now? Take this testimony, apply it to them, and start praying into it. Pray, Lord, that they would not get caught up in the Pharisee leaven, in the things that are hypocrisy in the religious spirit, and let them find the one truth, which is Yeshua, our Savior. The one who is the Passover lamb, just like he said. Thank God for this woman, Susan, who brought him to the place where he could hear the gospel and hear the gospel of the kingdom and recognize there's a better way. And he found it because Jesus is that way. And he found it and he found eternal life. He found out he was deceived as a Jew. And now he realized that there's a greater joy and a greater strength to go through trials. The very thing he couldn't do when he was young, he didn't have an answer, didn't know how to process through. And now later in life, because it's what Jesus does for a person, it gives you that strength to go through trials and adversities in your life, because he is the answer to everything. And he comforts and he cares for all. All right? Well, I'm going to pray for your family, your friends, anybody you're believing that's caught up in religion. or they believe some other path to their salvation, their works, whatever. Father, I pray for everybody on this podcast right now, on this Supernatural Friday, that, Lord, as you say, you're the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but by you. And so, Lord, let our friends, our family members that are lost and are they're wayward or they're backslidden or they're caught up in religion, let them find the relationship they need in you. I pray that right now for harvest to our families right now, our friends, those who are believing for. In the name of Yeshua, we pray on this Shabbat Shalom. Let us enter into the rest of the work of the cross. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. God bless you. Well, thanks again for listening this week and listening to our Shabbat Shalom podcast. Thank you so much. We're taking our first fruit offering up right now. We're going to take it up for several weeks, and then we're going to pray over everybody's offering. So if you'd like, ask the Lord what you should give if you feel led to sow into this offering. And in weeks ahead, we're going to pray over all those offerings and wave them before the Lord. You can go to our website, or you can go to our app, and you can also go to Christian Center Shreveport YouTube page, and you can find the messages on First Fruits, and you can hear more about it. Just go to our app, and you can sow there, give. Just put First Fruits on there or on our website. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend.